So it's definitely a good idea to make sure our immunity is strong and healthy in this time of the year to avoid any, like cold and flu situations. So let's talk a bit about elderberry, but specifically what to do if elderberries don't grow where you live or if they are sold out again at the herb store, because there are many very interesting alternatives. Let's dig into the weeds. Okay, so we just had a really nice class last Thursday, my monthly classes, about herbs to boost immunity. And yeah, we talked about a bit about the immune system in general, and then very, very concrete tips and ideas how to incorporate immune boosting herbs into your daily routine, because many of these are actually quite food-like, you know, thinking of garlic and ginger, that you might have in your kitchen that you can use in your cooking, or turmeric, for example. Others are maybe more that we would think of medicinal in a bit more stronger way, like echinacea and astragalus. So yeah, we talked about all these herbs in our classes. And I have the link here in the description. So if you would like to sign up for the classes, it's a good moment now. I have a special price here for December. I reduced the membership fee. I have now only one tier on my Ko-fi site. Membership, you know, it's just a way for me to organize my classes. Yeah, so you basically sign up for a monthly, very low price, and you get access to all the pre-recorded classes that I have already published on this login for this membership site. So you can see all the past classes about tonics and adaptogens and herbs for the brain, herbs for female hormonal balance, and also my shorter videos with lots of herbal tips and concrete advice to help you actually use herbs in a safe and effective way. And then, of course, you can come to our live classes. Yeah, so once a month, usually on the Thursday at the moment. And yeah, I'm trying to make the times suitable for people all over the world as much as possible. So yeah, it's definitely a time that people in North America can join, and people who live in Europe and anywhere else, hopefully also. So you can also give me feedback and I will adjust and try to find a time that works for everyone. So yeah, the best thing to learn, I think, is really to come to the live classes if you can, because we have a part of the class in the end, the Q&A, where we actually interact. You can ask me a question, we can discuss things and go a bit deeper, we can really tailor it to your specific needs if you have a personal question about your health situation or of a loved one, friend or family. So yeah, it's my favorite part of the class. So usually I start with a little presentation and we go through some herbs. And it's just to help you learn herbalism and go deeper on some of these topics. And you can, of course, also decide on the topics. I always ask my current students what they would like to do next. And of course, I have plenty of ideas. So if nothing comes up, we still fill it with lots of interesting topics, of course. But if you have something that is kind of urgent to you, then you can make topic suggestions. Yeah, so please check it out. Go to the link. You will find it's really easy and accessible. It's a very low price for one class a month, basically, and all the classes and shorter videos that are already posted. So once you join the membership, you have already plenty of material to watch. Yeah, and the price will stay that low until end of December. And then we see, because for next year, we might also have more than one class per month. And then, the price will increase a bit. So I hope you join now. It's a good occasion. So check out the link here in the description. It's basically Ko-fi.com Tamara Herbalist. You find the links, maybe the easiest to look there. And so we had our last class was about herbs for immunity, and we went through different herbs. One of them was elderberry. A very obvious one that is definitely one of the iconic herbs in Western herbalism. You know, it has just it has a long story It grows all over here in Europe. Unfortunately, not that much here where I live. It's a bit too dry and too hot. But yeah, definitely in kind of more middle European, northern European, actually also south European. I mean, it really is very widespread. But yeah, it needs a bit of rain and humidity, no? So in very dry areas. Yeah, maybe it doesn't grow that much. But the question is, you know, if you live in an area where you don't have access, where you can't harvest this herb, then it might be actually pretty difficult to get. Yeah, then it is often, especially once we approach the more like cold and flu winter season, then it's sold out. Or it takes a long time to ship, or it's not that available, you know. And it's also, you know, it's not very useful to spend like a lot of money on an herb that is maybe not so available for you at the moment. And then of course, it gets more expensive and you just buy, let's say, you know, I don't know, 100 grams or, you know, just a handful of the berries. This will not help you much. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a nice idea. And of course, you know, you can make a tincture out of the elderberry if you have lots of fresh elderberries. I mean, I think I would rather make a syrup because you really need it a bit in higher quantities. Yeah. If you have a tincture, I mean, it's nice, you know, it's nice as a little sample or something that you made yourself or whatever. It has its place. But if you really want to take it serious, you need to take elderberries or all these other alternatives that I'm going to tell you about now in a bit higher dose. Yeah, because what is actually probably the active constituent in the elderberry that helps us to boost immunity are these pigments. Yeah, it is actually this deep, deep red color of the elderberries. There's also a type of elderberry that is called a black elderberry. It's even darker. It's a very, very dark red. And we have, of course, many plants, especially berries, that have these deep purple, blue, black, deep, dark red color. Yeah, so they have, we can already see from the color, you know, our sensory organs, also our eyes, definitely our taste and smell, can tell us a lot about what is in a plant, which chemical constituents are in there. Yeah, we carry our mini lab with us around at all times. You know, we can look at plants, we can taste them, we can smell them. This is called organoleptic, perception or of the herbs. So with our senses, we can see that these herbs have probably something in common. Yeah, and we know that these herbs contain these flavonoids, these pigments. They're also called anthocyanidins or anthocyanins. It's just a type of flavonoid. Yeah, the name is maybe a bit complicated, but it's basically a type of flavonoid that has these deep red, purple, and black and blue colors. Yeah. So, you know, elderberries, I think it is such a much written about herb because really it grows in such abundance in the areas where it grows and where there is enough wild area to wild harvest it. So these are usually hedges, and I mean there is just plenty of it. Yeah, it's a winter food, you know. At the end of the summer, you would harvest the elderberries and they keep probably pretty well if you dry them or if you prepare, make some kind of preparation out of the elderberries. So you can do a lot with it. Yeah, you can usually make a juice and preserve the juice somehow. So yeah, this was always something that was harvested by people traditionally. And, you know, they would just kind of can their liters and liters of bottles of elderberry juice for the winter. Yeah, maybe preserved with some sugar. This is where the typical elderberry syrup comes from. Yeah, so the sugar is actually just in there to conserve it. And, of course, it also tastes better. It's a little sugar to get the medicine down, let's say. And I'm sometimes lucky. This year I haven't seen it so far, but sometimes it pops up at my local supermarket here, which is a German chain. And they sometimes have, which I'm really happy about if I find it in some years, just the 100% juice, natural, without any sugar added, without any water added. Pasteurized, so there is no sugar added to preserve it or no alcohol added to preserve it. Yeah, the preservation is, of course, not the normal industrial standard of pasteurizing, which is fine. You know, we would have to cook the elderberries to They have a little bit of toxicity when they're raw. Yeah, nothing too dramatic. I mean, you can definitely taste a few berries raw, probably without anything happening. But if you would make a juice of a bunch of fresh berries and then drink the raw juice that was not boiled, then you could, yeah, you could just vomit or, you know, you wouldn't also probably die. But I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah, it's not nice. So, you know, it has to be kind of cooked anyway. It has to be kind of preserved anyway. So I'm always happy when I find the juice. Of course, I get this for a way better price. I mean, then I, you know, I get a whole liter of the juice that is perfectly preserved and I have it in a Tetra Pak. And then I can drink like really a whole cup or two per day and not like, you know, a tablespoon. Yeah, because if you go to the pharmacy, you might also find lots of preparations and products. It was actually, you know, it's a bit the cultural history and the traditional use of elderberry that makes it so famous. But there has also been a bit a push by a company that I think they invented this product, Sambucol, which you might know, Sambucol. I think it's available in Europe and in the US. And they did a lot of testing and studies to show that it actually has a benefit for the immune system. And of course, they filled it in a tiny little bottle with not much in it, with, you know, other stuff and preservative and probably sugar or whatever. And then they are selling this at a, you know, at a price that makes it worth, you know, to market a product like this. So again, yeah, of course, we can save a lot of money. We have to also think critically where to put our money. So I wouldn't go to the pharmacy, buy a tiny bottle of a few, really like a tiny bottle of this elderberry preparation or syrup or whatever it is. Elderberry is good to use if you have it growing abundantly around you, or you can buy it because, you know, people harvested in the region, or there is kind of a supply locally. Or, you know, sure, of course, you know, I mean, I live here more in Southern Europe. I could order it easily from Germany and just order 2 pounds of it and then make my own preparation. So that's fine if they sell out, if it's kind of hard to get, if you only get it because it's very expensive, if you then can only afford a very tiny amount because it's so expensive, forget it. Yeah. Then I would really say, yeah, it's overrated. You know, it does not have to be elderberry. Yeah. And this, I mean, if I say it's overrated, doesn't mean it doesn't do what it says. It is a great and amazing herb for sure. But it's not that it doesn't have replacements. Yeah. That might be more local to your area, more economical to get. Yeah. More easy to get in a bigger quantity. Yeah. So you can easily, you know, just pick your blackberries, your wild blackberries, before autumn sets, or in autumn actually, na, end of summer, autumn, when the blackberries are ripe and many areas have wild blackberries. Yeah, you can harvest your rose hips. You can buy your frozen blueberries. Maybe you get them at a good price. Yeah, and frozen is totally fine in that case. Yeah, a lot of time these berries are actually cheaper when they are frozen. And fresh, they cost, yeah, they are very expensive. So I also wouldn't go for, you know, super expensive blueberry powder where you have just a tiny quantity and it costs a lot of money. Yeah, then you don't need the blueberry powder, you know, just go for the frozen blueberries and you can eat a lot more of them and you get more of these flavonoids, of the anthocyanidins in. Yeah, so the immune benefit is definitely better if you don't take just tiny, 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 tiny amounts every day. Yeah, so this is something, it's almost, you know, it's a big discussion also in science that actually these flavonoids and these anthocyanidins should be almost termed another vitamin. They should get vitamin status, yeah, because our health very much depends on these substances, on these, yeah, constituents in plants, yeah. I mean, chemicals is kind of a chemical, but we don't call it a chemical. No? We call it a constituent if it's in the plant. Yeah, so it's just the active substance in the plant. Yeah, this is what a constituent is. So yeah, these flavonoids, some say they are just as important, you know, as our folate and our B12 and all other vitamins. So we should give them this place that they deserve and make it really a habit. Yeah, it is a bit represented in the philosophy to eat the rainbow. Yeah, so if you eat the rainbow, you eat all the colors, yeah, from yellow to green to orange to deep red and purple and blue and black, you know, then, okay, there's no rainbow that actually has black, but you know what I mean. I mean, this deep, deep, deep blue that almost is black, né? Like in the blackberries or in the black elderberries. Yeah, this is actually a dark red, a very dark, dark purple or red. So, yeah, eating the rainbow is definitely a good idea. And so what these pigments, these plant pigments, to call them in a bit easier way, do in the body, or what they're beneficial for, we continue to discover. Yeah, so it's so many things. It goes from, and this many studies have kind of suggested it, and I think also already trials in person where they actually see if that's working. Yeah, that if you have a higher consumption in these pigments, you have less risk for artery, for disease, for arterial plaque and heart disease or Alzheimer's. Yeah, so it improves the circulation. So that is good for the brain. That is good for, of course, our cardiovascular system, our heart. And I mean, this is the most common cause of death. Just to remind you that it sounds like, oh, you know, I don't have any problems with my arteries or, you know, arterial plaque and arteriosclerosis and all this, or high cholesterol. Yeah, maybe you have not yet, but... Yeah, it's one of the most common things to kind of slide into, yeah, to get, to have problems with your cholesterol levels and to have year by year, the older you get, an increasing risk for heart disease. Yeah, so it's a good thing to prevent. Yeah, even though at the moment you might not be very worried about it, there's no symptoms. Yeah, there's nothing, but you know, maybe a slight problem to concentrate or memorize. Which also indicates the first problems with circulation, that your brain is just not working like when you were younger, or several things. Or your blood pressure starts to rise, your cholesterol levels start to rise. So in that case, it makes really super sense, yeah, to not... I mean, in this case also, you wouldn't go for the elderberry if you can't get them or they're super expensive. You would just say, okay, I'm going to increase all the red, blue, purple... fruits and veggies in my diet. Yeah, this can be, you know, from purple cabbage to red onions, to black beans or black soybeans. And of course, all the blueberries and blackberries. And there are so many fruits and vegetables. Yeah, even these purple potatoes, sweet potatoes that are dark, deep purple. So anything, you can really just go by the color. Yeah. And this would give you so many benefits, definitely proven benefits for the heart and brain, but also our immune system and overall health. So these plants are very, very high in antioxidants and also anti-inflammatories. So this is beneficial pretty much for many problems that we have in our modern life, yeah, from microinflammation and all the stressors, you know, even stress and environmental toxins that we deal with. Yeah, the more antioxidants we have circulating in our blood, the better the body can ward off this oxidative damage that then occurs. Yeah, so this is a daily thing. This is really, don't think of it as a medicine that you just take like for 3 weeks in winter to not get a cold. Think of it as something really, really seriously helpful that you should take on a daily basis. Yeah, or that you can implement into your diet. Yeah, I mean, most of these are pretty dietary. Yeah, I mean, of elderberry, we think more as a medicine, but you know, it was always just a food also. Yeah, I mean, of course, a very healthy food and very concentrated food, but it was just a juice, you know, that you drank in winter, or you know, something that you made a jelly or marmalade or whatever preparation out of and incorporated into something else. Yeah, but principally, maybe the juice preserved as a syrup. Yeah, this is also just something you can for the winter, no? So you can, I mean, no, the canning of the juice to preserve it, no? The bottling of the juice. So you just had your bottles and, you know, you had to be ready in these kind of more temperate climate zones where elderberry grows, and you have to prepare for the winter and get your pantry stocked and everything. So this was just one of the things. And of course, it kept the immunity strong in winter when especially, you know, there were not so many other fruits. Yeah, there were definitely no strawberries anymore and no raspberries and no blueberries anymore because the winter is long and cold. And then the source to rely on for your antioxidants and anthocyanidins was the elderberry juice, yeah. But today we have maybe access, no, also to other, yeah, as I said, to other fruits and vegetables that contain these same pigments, and that's great. Yeah, just that we think a bit broader And of course, it's nice if you study herbalism, you will want to try at some point elderberries, and you will buy a small amount, even if it's expensive, maybe, and make your own syrup and just, you know, try it, feel it, smell it, which is also very important so we can learn about herbs. Yeah, but don't be too sad if it's sold out again. Then you know what to do, and you know that it's maybe not about the elderberries, but about finding as many ways as possible to get those anthocyanidins in and consume these different plant pigments on a daily basis in your diet. I think this, yeah, this is what makes more sense. Of course, I have to say, you know, elderberry, for sure, it might have some specific properties. Each of these plants, yeah, has also specific properties. I'm not saying these plants are all the same, yeah? So eating a blackberry is not exactly the same as eating an elderberry or eating a hawthorn berry, yeah? So some of these herbs have a traditional emphasis, yeah? In the traditional use, we can see an emphasis. We can see, oh, hawthorn berry was really specifically used for heart health, for example. So, yeah, maybe there is, you know, maybe it makes the hawthorn berries a little bit better than the blackberries for heart health, no? Or the blueberries have been a lot researched for eye health, yeah? So also these pigments go into our eyes, and it's very important, no, for our ability to see well and to maintain our eyes functioning. So yeah, there might be, you know, a special twist which might be there or not really. It might be that we just didn't discover all the other amazing things this plant is maybe specific for, you know. So and of course also in research they have to decide before on what they're going to focus to find out for a certain plant. So sure, we never have the whole picture, but there is a lot of traditional wisdom, of course, now from the peoples who have always used these plants and have noticed certain things. So, I'm not saying, you know, maybe elderberry has a special thing. Yeah, something might have made these companies or the companies that put more research into it and created these pharmacy products, no, like the Sambucol and other brands. So they funded the research maybe based on, yeah, on finding it in herb books and finding it written about, like, oh, okay, so this is whatever, ne? Could be good to shorten the duration of a cold or flu or whatever, you know, prevent it or whatever it is exactly that these studies then suggest. And so there might be something, you know, there is of each herb, of course, a little extra twist and a little extra characteristic in one or the other direction, yeah, but definitely these anthocyanidins have a lot to do with it. Yeah, so I mean, we know they're anti-inflammatory. We know they are very, you know, full of antioxidants, which is always a good idea. Yeah, so also in the last class, we talked about, you know, turmeric, which is very anti-inflammatory, full of antioxidants. No? We talked about several other foods and plants that have this high antioxidant content. Yeah, so this is definitely a factor for your immunity, and in the moment, you know, your body has to kick into high gear and fight an invader. Yeah, of course, there is, you know, different strategies for each moment of the whole thing to trying to not get a cold. You know, in the beginning, you could use some diaphoretics, so you could just try to sweat the pathogen out. Yeah, this would be also very solid strategy that has been used in Ayurveda, in Chinese medicine, in Western herbalism, in kind of natural traditional healing in many parts of the world. They have discovered, oh yeah, it actually does work, you know, if I have the feeling I got exposed to whatever, you know, germs or, you know, somebody's sick in my family, I just, you know, take a hot bath or shower, wrap up in towels and blankets and heating pad or, you know, hot water bottle, go into bed and try to sweat. Ah, and drink, of course, now drink my diaphoretic herb, yeah, which is basically an herb that makes you sweat. This could be anything, you know, from yarrow to tulsi to linden, tilia, or elderflower, actually. Yeah, it's also very good diaphoretic. Yeah, so elderflower in that case. So, yeah, just bring yourself to sweat somehow and you sweat the pathogen out in the early beginning. But still, you know, still combine it, and hopefully you have taken just a bit more of these immune beneficial herbs I mean, I'm sometimes a bit hesitant to actually call them immune boosters because, you know, the action is also not so straightforward. No? Immune boosting, yeah, let's say immune regulating, yeah, because, you know, if you say immune boosting, then soon comes the discussion, but, you know, if I have allergies and actually my immune system is kind of overactive, yeah, we also discussed this in the last class, that there is not, you know, on first sight, it seems, you know, that you have an overactive immune system when you have allergies or, for example, autoimmune disease. But actually, you know, your immune system is just misguided. Your immune system is, yeah, in the end, also weak. Yeah. So if you react to everything, if you have allergies and reactions and, yeah, whatever, eczema or things that are in this direction, allergy, autoimmunity, then it doesn't mean you have a strong, healthy immune system that is in overdrive. Yeah, and you should avoid immune boosting herbs because you don't want to kick your immune system into overdrive even more. Yeah, it means you have a misguided, underlying, weak immune system. Yeah, that could still benefit from some of these herbs. Yeah, that we should better call immunoregulators. Yeah, or immune balancing herbs. And maybe we should get a bit away from the immune boosting herbs. But I mean, the last class was focused really more on immune boosting. Yeah, in a time of the year where you want to ward off the pathogens that are all around us that we breathe in and we get these respiratory, colds, head colds. So yeah, it was a bit more simplified and focused on this goal of really boosting your immunity, maybe really, you know, maybe with echinacea and other plants, with astragalus, also maybe with elderberry, what they find out in all these studies and tests and so on is, oh yeah, it increases a bit the white blood cells in the blood, and you know, and then you're already literally a bit boosted, you know, you're already a bit in high gear when the pathogen comes into through your airways. Your body can more effectively fight it because the immune response is actually already a bit ramped up. Yeah, but it's just a question, yeah, of learning a bit more about these herbs, and of course they don't have all the same mechanism, so they work very differently. But yeah, today as we saw, you know, we were talking about this group of herbs that can help with many things in our health, also with keeping our immunity healthy and strong. And it is more about these plant pigments that have these deep red, purple, dark colors, and these anthocyanidins. Then we can find replacements, yeah, instead of crying over the fact that elderberries are sold out again at this time of the year. No worries at all. Okay. I'm of course also available for individual health consultations, so you can go to my website herbalhelp.net and you can send me a message there through the contact form or to my email directly, tamara@herbalhelp.net. And you find the link of course to my website also in the description. You can also actually directly book a free call. So if you want to find out, if it makes sense to work with me to help you get on a herbal plan for your health situation, then just sign up for the free call and talk to me. You know, we have time to get to know each other, talk about your situation and if it would be a good idea that I help you with that. So just sign up for that. It's always good to have like a first short call before we dig into the actual consultations. And yeah, so you can do that. And also, yeah, I hope some more of you are going to sign up for the classes and for my December special price. So the monthly price will not change for those who are already signed up. So if you're signed up, this monthly price will stay the same for you for the time you're signed up. But in January, otherwise, I'm going to slightly increase the price. So do it now. This has the advantage you can come to the next class, which will be actually about kind of natural remedies for cold and flu. So we dig more into the treatment aspect of this topic. This class will be on, I think, the 8th of December. And also, if that date is already gone, you will still have access to the recording of that class, of course, and all the other classes that I mentioned about adaptogens, about herbs to balance hormones and herbs for the brain and all these topics that I have already recorded. It's all in there. So once you sign up for the membership, which of course you can cancel anytime, you have already plenty of material to watch and also the shorter videos where I show really in practical ways how to effectively take herbs or some herbs here in nature. So yeah, there's many topics, smaller videos and the longer classes here, so you have a lot of material and a lot of time to study over the holidays. And then yeah, we see each other. Would be nice to see you, or on the 8th of December live in the class, or the next class, which will be in January, probably second week or third week of January. And yeah, I really enjoy the live part of the classes, you know, to actually be with you there in the classroom and see your faces, and you know, everybody's just beaming after the class and can't wait to actually start trying out some herbs, you know, and really practicing herbalism is to really use it for yourself and recommend it to friends and loved ones and feel secure and safe about it, you know. I mean, I really want to take the complicated side out of it and make it very practical so that it's easy to get in and try it out and be an herbalist. And you know, we as humans, we're all herbalists. This is just our nature. This is just our primary medicine, are the herbs and all the things that grow outside. So I hope really you join me and you sign up in December, and I see you in the next class. And always grateful for your feedback. So also please just write me a message, write me an email if you have any comment or any topic that you want me to discuss. I always love to hear from you. Okay, talk to you next time. Have a good time. Ciao.